This is a special series of Bible studies on the Gospel of Mark. It was done at the request of the Far East Broadcasting Company. The scripture reading is done by my good friend, Ken Brooks. Yes, this is the Emmaus Bible Hour, a program for you and your family, a time to study the Bible together. Madame Chiang Kai-shek has written these words. One day while reading of the crucifixion, I paused at a passage describing how the centurion used a spear to pierce Jesus' side and how blood and water flowed from the wound. Now I'd read that passage many times before, and it never particularly moved me. This time, however, I wept. For the first time, I realized that his suffering and pain were for me. I had experienced what is called an old-fashioned conversion. And therefore, I was not only intellectually convinced, but was personally attached to my Lord. That was a testimony of Madame Chiang Kai-shek concerning her own salvation. Today, in our study of the Gospel of Mark, we're going to be looking at the crucifixion. It's our prayer that someone studying with us will have this experience of learning to know the Lord in a real way as their own personal Savior today. We begin reading in the 15th chapter of Mark and the 22nd verse, the NASB translation.
And they brought him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. And they tried to give him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him, and dividing up his garments among themselves, cast in lots for them, to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him, and the inscription of a charge against him read, The King of the Jews. And they crucified two robbers with him, one on the right and one on the left.
Golgotha, the place of the skull. There may have been many skulls around those who had been executed before. And it may be that the hill looked like a skull. If you travel to Jerusalem, they'll show you a hill which they say is Calvary. And if you use your imagination, you can almost see the markings of a skull on the side of that hill. The Lord Jesus would not take the wine and the myrrh. He would not take anything to deaden the pain. He fully tasted death for us, for you, for me. The soldiers divided his clothes among them. There were probably four soldiers. Usually they marched a prisoner in a hollow square with a soldier at each corner of the square. A Jew usually wore five pieces of clothing: the inner robe, the outer robe, the sandals, the girdle, and the turban. Each of the soldiers probably took one of the articles of lesser value, and then they would gamble as to who got the robe, the outer robe. Mark indicates that it was the third hour when they crucified him. Mark is probably the most careful of the gospel writers to give the full timetable of the crucifixion. He mentions what happened at the third hour, the sixth hour, and the ninth hour. The third hour would correspond with 9 o'clock in the morning. Sixth hour would be our noon, and then the ninth hour would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Let us continue reading with verse 29. This is Mark 15:29.
And those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, Ha! You are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Save yourself and come down from the cross. In the same way, the chief priests along with the scribes were also mocking him among themselves, saying, He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let this Christ, the King of Israel, now come down from the cross so that we may see and believe. And those who were crucified with him were casting the same insult at him. And when the sixth hour had come, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour.
Man was doing his worst to the Son of God. not satisfied with scourging him, spitting on him, beating him, crucifying him, they now hurl insults at him. The chief priests and the scribes joined in what to them was a sport, calling out, "He rescued others from death, himself he's not able to rescue." That's the way it's translated in the Amplified Bible. But he could have rescued himself. He still had all power, but he chose not to come down that he might save you and save me. Should we be surprised when sometimes people jeer at us because of our faith? Should we be surprised when the name of the Lord Jesus is still used in a wicked way 1,000 times a day? Sometimes his name is linked with that of Joseph and Mary and used carelessly. Why do people still jeer at him? Why don't they use the name of Buddha and Confucius in that way? Why? The demons of hell still hate him. They hate what he did that day on the cross. Mark indicates that the two robbers were also insulting him. But Dr. Luke tells us that one of them stopped. That thief must have done some thinking. Surely if ever a man would think, he ought to when death is facing him and at a time like the cross. The thief then rebuked his partner. "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And then he turned to the Lord Jesus and said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Here was a man that saw beyond. The crowd was taken up with the then and now. They were jeering. The other thief had joined them. But here was a man who saw beyond. He saw the Lord Jesus as Savior. This was faith, because the Lord was there on the cross beside him. And note that the Lord Jesus didn't answer the crowd, but right away he answered this man. "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." No waiting for the kingdom. Here was a man who was going right to heaven. It doesn't take long to be saved. In a split second, this thief was born again.
And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is translated, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Now, Mark 15:37. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion who was standing right in front of him saw the way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God."
The Lord Jesus cried out, "It is finished." He had completed his work on earth. Salvation was complete. He had suffered and paid the debt for us. Now where do you stand? With the crowd who still jeers at the name of the Lord Jesus? Or do you stand with this one man, a sinner, a thief, but a man who believed? He put his full trust in the Lord Jesus that day, and he was saved eternally. Consider this question carefully. Where do you stand in relationship to the Lord Jesus?
Come, dead night.